Okay, tonight we're going to discuss, I'm not giving a choice of shaylas tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss a shayla. It comes up, unfortunately, quite often. And it just happened recently, a few weeks ago. Someone came over to me and asked me, I said, you know, I haven't had my tefillin checked in a few years. Where do you recommend going to get the tefillin checked? So I told them the sofa that I recommend. I know nothing about safros. The reason I recommend that sofa is because I have a few sofrim who I trust, who live in different parts of the world, who I sometimes ask for advice, and they all tell me if you're in your part of the world, this sofer is hands down the best magia, the most exact, the most precise. He's going to catch things that other people won't catch. There's no doubt that this is who you should send people to. So I send people to this fellow. Now, this fellow happens to be very, very good, apparently. He also, you know, is more machmir than most, right? So the guy comes back and he's like all ashen and shocked. He says that the sofer told him that his tefillin are absolutely pasul. He's 39 years old. He's never been yotzei in the mitzvah of tefillin a single day in his life. So what do you do now? So well, most obvious thing to do, buy the tefillin. Okay, good. But now from that guy, well that's. That's also an interesting question. Like, where should you buy new tefillin? Do you want to give the guy who's checking your tefillin motivation to say that they're puzzled? Okay, but no, this guy is very good. But before that, do you just accept it? You accept the first opinion, 26 years of wearing tefillin is possible, and you just accept it? So what I said is, you know, he does have a reputation that he's a little bit on the machmir side of things. You know, they say he's never seen a mezuzah that he thought was kosher yet. So, you know, take a picture of the parshios. Take a picture of the parshios. Send them to me. I won't know what I'm looking at, but I'll send them to different people that I know, and we'll see if they agree with the assessment. So at least, you know, before we jump into anything, so he asked the sofer, would you mind if I take a picture of the parshios? The sofer said, they're your parshios, you can do whatever you want with them. So he took a picture of the parshios, and the sofer wrote out for him exactly what his concerns were. I sent them to a couple of sofrim that I know, one in particular, who I trust a lot, and he said, yeah, he's right. These are, you know, maybe you could kvetch out a shita that they might be kosher according to, but you know, these are not kosher tefillin. He said, at the very least, anyone who has an ounce of Yirah Shemayim should not be wearing such tefillin. So it's poshut that he needs to buy new tefillin. So this happens, unfortunately, all the time. Sometimes with people who just never bothered getting their tefillin checked. Sometimes, and often, with people who have had their tefillin checked many times. They just didn't know who they were bringing them to. They knew that the guy had a long beard and that he seemed like a nice fellow. That's the extent of what they knew about their sofer, and they had their tefillin checked. I've had one case where a guy had his tefillin checked religiously twice every 7 years. He had them checked. The guy was 32 years old at the time that he found that he brought them to the first to this sofer, actually the same sofer I'm talking about, who discovered there was a letter missing from his tefillin. We're not talking about like something that, you know, the tzura of the lamid, is it exactly right? There was a letter missing from his tefillin. And he had him checked over and over and over again. Unbelievable. So what do you tell such a person? I'll just tell you, there's a Talmud in this yeshiva who told me that his father his father had his tefillin checked after Hurricane Sandy, because apparently they got damaged in Hurricane Sandy. So he brought them to this same sofa that I'm talking about. If you want to know afterwards who it is so you can know where to get your tefillin checked, I'll tell you. I just don't like putting these things on recordings, because then every other sofa, how come you're not recommending me? So I don't know. I don't know anything. I just know what other people tell me. But he brought his tefillin to this sofa. His father after Hurricane Sandy, and the sofer said to him, look, there's no real water damage here, but these tefillin were never kosher because there are two letters that are completely, that the sofer, whoever wrote these parshios, there were two letters he didn't know how to write, that he wrote incorrectly throughout the entire parshios. There are two letters that he just didn't write them with the proper tzura. So the guy says, I can't believe it. I'm 49 years old. This fellow, the Talmud's father, I'm 49 years old. I've never been yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin. He said, wait, how old do you say you are? He said, I'm 49. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, what? The two letters he didn't know how to write were mem and tes. the two letters that were puzzled throughout his tefillin. He said, then the guy who owned the tefillin said, and you're not going to believe this, I yarshin these tefillin from my father, who died at the age of 49. So, okay, I don't know if you're into these stories, you're not into these stories, whatever. But bottom line is, the guy catches things, and, you know, there are things that... So, this is... So, what's the shaila? What exactly is the shaila over here? So, really, this is... It's really a tshuva shaila. Like, how do you do tshuva for this? Is there anything that you should do here on in to sort of make up for the violation? Is the guy considered to be an avarian on some level? Does he need to do tshuva? Did he get credit for the mitzvah of tefillin because he really tried to do the mitzvah of tefillin and he believed he was doing the mitzvah of tefillin for all of these years? Or do we say, no, you don't get credit for that? You know, if you thought what you were what you were eating was matzah and it turned out to be chametz, you don't get a mitzvah of chilas matzah. Or maybe, yeah, maybe you do. What?
Partial credit,
right? How does this work exactly? So and there may be a bigger problem than the bittul mitzvah of tefillin. What's the bigger problem? Bracha levatala every single day, two, because he's Ashkenazi, right? Two brachas levatala every single day. So how do you do tshuva for that? Is that's lechora more difficult than bittul mitzvah saseh of not wearing tefillin? And specifically, what are the? How do we consider? Is he considered a posheya? Is he considered a shogeg? Is he not even a shogeg? Is he an ones? And the nafkamin is going to be for the derech hatshuva. How do you go about doing tshuva for such a thing? So there is a ram. So in order to discuss any of this, we have to figure out, was he negligent? Right? How often does one have to get his tefillin checked? So how often do you have to get your tefillin checked? So. I love doing that. I love throwing that question out because you get like five different answers. And they're all right on some level. Because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Beis Halach Yod Aleph, Hakosev Tefillin Beksav Yado. If you wrote yourself a pair of Tefillin, oh, Shalak Chad Min HaMumcha Mishar Adam, or you bought Tefillin from an expert or from anybody, Ubadkan, and you checked the Tefillin, V'chzirun Li'oran, and you put them back in the Batim, Li'olam eino tsarich lebadkam pam acheres. You never have to get them checked again. If you check them once, you never have to check them again as long as you live. V'afilu l'achra kamashanim, even if it's many years later, as long as it basically looks okay. If it doesn't look like it was significantly damaged, you're good for the rest of your life. Ve'in choshelem shemen nimcha ka'os mitocha no shenikva. You don't have to worry that maybe your letter got erased. You don't have to worry that maybe there was a puncture, a hole was made in them. Hillel HaZakin HaYomer Tefillin Eilu Mishalavi Ima. Hillel HaZakin used to go around saying, oh, you see my tefillin, they're my Zaydis tefillin. So many years later, Zaydis tefillin are still kosher? Yes, says the Rambam. You get them checked once, and that's good enough. So it sounds like Mikra Hadin, tefillin, as long as you establish a cheskas kashrus, as long as you establish a cheskas kashrus, that chazaka stays. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, similar to Tess, Sif Yud. And l'chora, the idea is, if you buy them from a mumcha, so the mumcha is not going to be motzi mitachas yad davar shenu musukan, and if you and you checked it once, so that chazaka is going to remain in place. And therefore, if this guy bought them from an expert who says that he checked them, l'chora, that would put him squarely in the camp of ones. He did nothing wrong, according to the Rambam. Yeah.
Do you have to personally get them checked once, or can you rely on the fact that before he sold them, you presumably had them checked?
So most of the time, the people you buy them for, you buy them from, are not the people who wrote them.
Right.
So you can assume that the person you're buying, meaning not assume, you could ask the guy you're buying them from if he checked them, and he says he checks all of them. Right. This so far, I know that he sells all different levels of partials. He doesn't write them; he sells them. But he checks all of them, or he says he checks all of them. Now he gets so busy, he has a lot of assistants that do the checking. So I'm a little, whatever, you know, tell people, demand that he does the checking. He doesn't like it, he hates it.
He has a standard that all of them are supposed to.
Are supposed to, but if they're not as good as him, you know, they may not catch everything that he catches. Okay, but anyway, so that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah in Simlam Tesuk Chavav quotes from Magen Avram, that it's a good idea to check them because a lot of times when you sweat a lot, you shower before davening or something like that, that can ruin the tefillin. Someone just told me earlier tonight that Rav Bina took a boy that kept on coming into to davening with wet hair every morning, and he took the boy's tefillin and he took his finger and he stuck it right through the leather. It got so soft. The leather got so soft on the bottom of the tefillin. He poked a hole right with his finger right through the leather. He said, "You see, you shouldn't be putting on your tefillin with wet hair every morning." So Mishmaru says it's possible that the tefillin will get ruined that way, and therefore one should check his tefillin, not rely on the fact that they were checked once. However, they quote from Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Halicha Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman says, "Hey, you know how much sweat you'd have to sweat in order to apostle today's tefillin? We use gassos, the bottom that we have are very thick, very strong, and the titura on the bottom of the tefillin is very tall. It's not like these very flat tituras that they used to have where the water would go through." It's two is like the bottom square of the tefillin. So he says, Rosh Hashanah says it's very unlikely that your tefillin become possible from sweat or oil. More likely that your tefillin become possible from opening them up again and taking out the parshios and closing them. So Sofrim have told me that they don't know what he's talking about. That they don't know what Rosh Hashanah is talking about. That very rarely do, as in never, do tefillin actually become puzzle just by opening them up. And unless the quality in the first place was so low that they would become puzzle. Very, very rarely does that actually happen, but that's what they say in the Rosh Hashanah. So where do we get the idea of doing a check twice every 7 years, or every year? Some people, so Mata Ephraim, in some Tavkuf Peyal, Mata Ephraim is a sefer about, you familiar with Mata Ephraim? Mata Ephraim is a sefer about Chodesh, Elul, and Tishrei, essentially, Yom Noraim. So Mat Ephraim writes that Anshe Meisar Noeg to check their tefillin every year during Chodesh Elul. And there's a makor in the Mechilta for that, in Mechilta and Parshas Bo, to check every single year. And Salvation explains that it's not because of Chashash Psul, it's Dafka, like a kiyum of Bedika, as opposed to a Chashash Psul in the tefillin. But there is such a minig. Chai Yadam quotes a minig to check them twice every 7 years. So the Yeshal of Rami Bachach explains, where does that come from, twice every 7 years? So not exactly. He says the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you only wear your tefillin leprakim, Shulchan Aruch writes in Simlam Tes, v'meinu manichin el leprakim, you only wear the tefillin once in a while. What do you mean you only wear your tefillin once in a while? They're your spare pair of tefillin. They're your second pair of tefillin. So when you forget your tefillin, in yeshiva or whatever, so these are the tefillin that you'll wear at home or something like that. A second pair of tefillin. I actually have a second pair of tefillin because my parents, when I turned 30, I think, upgraded my tefillin. So I have an extra pair of tefillin that are also kosher, that even this sofer said were decent parshios, but they were the not the style ksav that I would have liked. So if you have a spare pair of tefillin, you wear them once in a while. You tzrichim bedika pamayim b'shavu. You need to check them twice every 7 years. So says the Yishal Rami Bachach, that's why the Chayyadim recommends that we always get our tefillin checked twice every 7 years. What? Why? I wear my tefillin every day. What do you mean? So he says, no, because all of us only wear our tefillin in the prakim. Because you're supposed to wear them all day, we only wear them for davening. That's a little bit of a hard sell. No, what's the idea that if you only wear them leprakim, mice probably ate them or something? Like, if you're not constantly dealing with them and you just put them away for months at a time, so then you should check them twice every 7 years because something could have happened and you wouldn't have noticed. But if you're taking them out and putting them away every single day, it's hard to imagine that that's called leprakim. Okay, but that's how the Yeshal Avraham Mibachach suggests. But all of this is only if initially you bought your tefillin from a mumcha and they were checked properly. But if you failed to do that, then l'chora, you're not an ones. Meaning it's called an ones if you bought your tefillin from a mumcha, you had him checked at least once, and then certainly if you had him checked more in over the years, certainly would be an ones. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shgagos, nothing to do with tefillin. The Rambam talks about, he's magdir, what's called an ones, what's called a shogeg. So the Rambam talks about haba al ishto shalo b'shas vesta. If a man sleeps with his wife when she's not expecting to get her period, I'm talking to a group of single guys, not so familiar with halachos of vestos, but essentially there's a whole set of halachos that uses past performance and averages to figure out when a woman is most likely to become a nida next. And at that point in time, you stay away from tashmish with one's wife at that point in time. So halacha called vestos. So let's say it's not her shas vestos. She's not. Sachs just told me today he had a shayla where there's a couple getting married, and all of her vessels, all the predicted times, all fall out on the night of the chasana. What do you do? Okay, so when we do Hilchos Nid Shailas, we'll have to so okay, so she's on a pill, but okay, so it's an interesting shaila. But I always wanted to do like a Hilchos Nida, you know, from the rabbi's desk, but like I always feel weird about it, because like those are the best shailas, like some of the wildest. Okay, you know. No. Maybe we'll have a married guy's chabur at some point, and okay, just do it in front of a recording, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So the Rambam writes, "Habal ishto shlo b'shas vestav, v'ras adam b'shas hatashmish." Out of luck, right? In the middle of tashmish, she says, "I just became a nida." How does she realize? Somehow she realizes. Hareilu peturin mikarben chatas mipreish zeh ka'onus uvelo shogeg. Says the Rambam, "That's an onus. It's not a shogeg. What were you supposed to do? A guy should never be with his wife. No, it's an onus." But then the Rambam defines, "What's a shogeg?" Shashogeg hayelo livdok ulidakteg v'ilu badak yafa yafa v'diktek b'shelos lo hayabali deshkaga. A shogeg is someone who could have and should have checked better and asked more questions. That's a shogeg. An onus is someone who never could have or should have asked more questions. So a guy b'shas vesta, you know, when she's expecting her period, say he should have asked her, you know, is it the shas vesta? He should have investigated a little bit, thought about it. So that's something that he just wasn't cognizant at all of her veset, which is sometimes something that people do. They lose track and they just wasn't. So that, then that's not an onus. That's a shogeg in the avera of the isur kares of bia with anida. In terms of the Isser violating the Vestos, that's a, you know, it's a Pshia, but in terms of the Isser Kari, to be with the Nida, that would be a Shogeg. But a Shalobashas Vesta is known as. So what do you see? It's Mefurish in the Ramam. If it's beyond the Livdok, and to save yourself from the Chet, and he didn't, he wasn't Bodekaro, he's a Shogeg, he's not a known as. And therefore, it requires Tshuva. It requires a higher level of Tshuva, certainly. So how do you do it? What is one's responsibility? To make sure you buy your tefillin from a mumcha, make sure that you get them checked by a mumcha, make sure that not just when you ask about, oh, what do you think of this sofer? Oh, nicest guy. It takes care of it in a timely fashion and has a good bedside manner. And you know, no, you want to find out from people who actually know what they're talking about, is he a good sofer? It's sometimes it takes a good amount of research because not everyone is so forthcoming with that kind of information. But you really, that's really our achrayus, to really find out, is he a good sofer? In the Safra's community, is he someone who's respected as a good sofer, as a good magia? What?
It's like a whole list of questions you're supposed to ask.
Yeah. Inside Stam. It's a very good book to read and a very good guy to know. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Lakach Mishen Mumcha Tzarech Lebatkan. If you buy it from someone who's not a mumcha, certainly you have a require to do a bedika. And Mishmur points out, but you should never buy from someone who's not a mumcha. It's also liknos mishein a mumcha. Afilu al manas lebatko. Good. So now we have we know what our responsibilities are. But let's go back to our guy. This guy is 39 years old. It's tefillin apostle. Okay. Was he an onus? Was he a shogeg? What depends. Depends on what his history with tefillin was. Who exactly did he go to? Pashto says he's a shogeg. Let's say. So is he in need of kapara? Was he mekayim the mitzvah over all these years, or do we say that he was not mekayim the mitzvah? So the Ben Ish Chai in Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, Chelek Dalet Rechaim Simon Beis, first of all, he writes up the Shaila beautifully. He has such a style of writing. He writes up the whole thing like it's poetry. It's literally rhyming, the whole thing. It's unbelievable. Vano uvda ala libi lachkar al inyanim ele ukeyotzi b'amadavr shu pasul medina v'yishogin bo rabim mikademes dana im nomer chas v'sholim lo ala b'yadam mitzvah kitikna ukil chasar shar nitna l'moshe raya mehemna. It's like unbelievable. The whole thing is it's poetry. U'masul le'idana emana im kein chas v'sholim mehem techsarna mitzvah gedola ve'elyona ho medes al rosh pina hano hegis v'chol yoma v'yoma. It's so what? It's just unbelievable, beautiful to read. It's like Rav Vadi Yosef used to write like this. He used to write a lot of poetry when he was younger. What?
Rav Ben Chai wrote like
Yeah. So he was very good. He was very talented. So he describes this shaila in this way, and then he quotes from the Chida b'shem Gadol Echad that even if al pi halacha the tefillin were psulin im kol zeh, if you were mechavin l'shem shemayim to mekayim a mitzvah, yesh lo schar mitzvahs tefillin. Whoa! It's one thing to say, make nice. You're not a bad guy. Try to serve Hashem with simcha, whatever. Yesh lo schar mitzvahs tefillin. A chiddush gadol. Chiddush gadol. He didn't have a chavtzah shel mitzvah. You get schar mitzvahs tefillin. This same fellow told me the other story with the Rabbina. Told me Rabbina had another guy where he made him get his tefillin checked, and he opened them up, and there was nothing in there. Empty. Mamish, nothing in there. So, yesh lo schar mitzvahs tefillin? Well, there was nothing in there. I remember once had a Talmud in DRS a number of years ago, many years ago, who asked me to get his tefillin checked. He said, I've never got my tefillin checked. My father's not so religious, so I don't know what. I'm like, this isn't going to end well, because his father was very ill at the time, and there was no chance the family was buying new tefillin. So, even before we had them checked, they started a collection amongst the Rebbeim to buy the guy new tefillin, because there was no doubt that the tefillin would be possible, and they were. So the poskim try to bring rayas to this chiddush of the Ben Ishchai. Yesh lo schar mitzvahs tefillin? How could you say such a thing? So you have to judge each raya on its own merits, and Rav Avadia Yosef goes through this in Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin, or Chaim Simon Hei, he goes through many of these rayas. One raya they bring is the Gemara in Hori Yosef and Beis as an expression, Gedola Avera Lishma. What does that mean? That an Avera, when it's done L'Shem Shemayim, is a good thing. It's like a mitzvah, an Avera Lishma. So even a Maisa Avera Mamish could be considered a mitzvah if you're Mechavein Libo L'Shemayim. So Kal V'Chomer, something that's just Pariv, it's not a Maisa Mitzvah, it's not a Maisa Avera, it's a nothing. So for sure you get Schar for that. What is Gedola? It's an amazing thing. You take any three words, you just take them out of context and put them separately as a standalone phrase, and it could mean whatever you want it to mean. But that's not what Gedola Avera Lishma means. Gedola Avera Lishma does not mean that if I take a ham sandwich and I say, I'm eating this Hindi Mukhan Mazuman, so I can learn a better night seder, so I can fill my stomach. Mitzvah! All of a sudden it becomes a mitzvah. That's not what Gedola Avera Lishma means. So what does Gedola Avera Lishma mean?
Yeah,
so the mice with the aisle. What's the context? The context is, it's normally something that a nice Jewish girl shouldn't be doing. To be seducing a man to come into her tent, that's normally something that's an Avera. In the context in which she did it, it was a mitzvah. It's just normally an Avera. That's when we say Gedola Avera Lishma, because it's actually a mitzvah in that context. But say stam gedola aver a harasha for a ma'is aver to turn into a mitzvah. That's gedola aver l'shma. And then the Rav Palam says, I have a raya the other way from the Gemara, the Mishnah rather in the second parak of Sukkah. The Mishnah says that they told Rabbi Yochanan ben Achorani, he used to have this practice that he would sit in the Sukkah v'shulchan b'sukkah bayis. You'd have his sukkah off of the kitchen, and you'd eat off the kitchen table, but he was sitting in the sukkah. So what did they tell him? Im kenasisa lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. If that's what you've done, you've never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So Tos writes, not even mekayim the mitzvah midoraisa of sukkah. You've never mekayim the mitzvah whatsoever. Ran disagrees, you aren't mekayim the mitzvah midrabbanon, because the whole din of shulchan b'sukkah bayis is only a din drabbanon, gzeir Hashem yamashach achar shulchano. So that's a question of the power of the rabbanon exactly. But what do you see? His kavanah was lishma. He thought he was sitting in sukkah. He was trying to sit in sukkah, but it didn't meet the criteria of the rabbanon. Eino mekayim mitzvah sukkah. It's not mekayim the mitzvah. So Rav Palm says that's not a raya, because probably what they meant is henceforth you will not be mekayim the mitzvah if you do it this way. Now that you're educated and now that you know better, don't do that anymore. They weren't trying to possible all of his mitzvah. He said, it can't be that they were trying to possible, because they have just made that gezeira. So you can't. You can't turn back the clock on people before the gezeira was made, and now make it that they were never mekayim the mitzvah. So it can't mean that way. In fact, that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses in the Tshuvah Har Tzvi, or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Hei, he discusses exactly that point. If you were following the Chacham in your generation, even though later generations may have made a takana, we're not going to take away the mitzvah. Another raya, Rav Avadya Yosef quotes, he says he saw in Sefer Das Kedoshim that tefillin that are found to be pasul mafreya, kigon chaserim osach yotze b'zeh, where you can't say, oh, it must have just happened. It didn't. The letter didn't jump off the page and the other letters around it, you know, come closer to each other. Obviously, it was always missing a letter. So he says, you know, that's what Chazal talk about in Kiddushin Samach Vav and Beis. Kohen Shavar Avodah Beis HaMikdash V'noda Achar Kach Shayecholol. A guy is doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash all these years, and then he discovers that his mother was a Grusha at the time that she married his father. So he's a Cholol. What does the Gemara say? Avodah Kshera. Is that not going forward? But all his Avodah they didn't pass as Kasher. Baruch Hashem Chelo V'Fal Yad of Tirtza Afilu Chulin Shabbat Tirtza. Even the Cholol. So, apparently, it's exactly the same thing, no? He was a Cholol all the time, he was Pasul Avodah. And we said, okay, he didn't know. So, it counts, the Avodah's kosher. It's all those people that brought Karbanos, that he was the Kohen that was bringing the Karbanos. It's fine, they don't have to bring out the Karbanos. So that's the Das Kedoshim, sort of Avadia says, that's a terrible Raya. Why?
Those are affecting other people.
Here
it's yourself.
Still, I mean, was it kosher? Was it not kosher? So Rav Avadya says, "Nah, imishum halo irya." Sha'at shenidma din zeh lechalol. He says, "Let me give you a different case. What if he was a balmum? So then the halach is not that way. The halach is everything was possible. He didn't know he was a balmum. He thought it was, you know. Still, everything's possible. Why? Because there's a special drasha from a pasuk to tell us afilu chulin shabo." Specifically in that case. You can't just apply that to Kala Tarakula. So Avadi says he was not Mekayim a mitzvah. You can't say a guy who was wearing pasul tefillin was Mekayim a mitzvah tefillin every single day. Yeah.
So the lashon of being Mekayim and being Yotze versus Schar is much less than
Schar mitzvah sounds like you're Mekayim a mitzvah. Schar for effort, you know, one of Amelim, a him Amelim, you know, I guess. A third raya that they bring, Kilu he was Mekayim Mitzvah, that it may be Kilu is Mekayim Mitzvah, they bring from reading from a Sefer Torah Pasul. This is quoted in the Chuvas Priya Sada and Menashe Klein's Mishnah Halachos. He has this. He says, I have a raya gedola. What happens if you're reading from a Sefer Torah? Let's say this week, right? Vayakal Pekudei Achodesh. This is like, you know, this is the week that all the Bali Kriya call in sick. Oh, I have a cold, I can't come, you know. So, You're all the way at the end of the parasha already, and you find the psul in the Sefer Torah. So what do you do? Take out a new Torah, good, and now you go back and start from the beginning? And you go back, no, you pick up from the same point. Why not go back to, like, since you've been using this Torah, if I've been using it since Bereshis, so go back and start from Bereshis. No, we don't do that. Right, he says, Raya Gadola, may according to Sefer Torah, it's possible, Bamsa Kriya, Birech al Kriyasa, Dilo Matsinu Bishum Makum Shetzarach Chuva la Bracha, Ksha Sefer Torah is a Mukzakas Bakashros, Vaadrab, Ledas Rova Poskim, Afilu Mashakara Kodam Shirosh, Psula Yatsi de Kriya, Yatsi Kriya Satora, according to Rova Poskim. Good Raya or bad Raya? Is it, you even have the bracha element over there, right? Seems good. So why is it not a good raya?
Bad raya's crystal is a little different.
Good.
Every pasuk is separate from the next.
There's a major machlokas rishonim whether you need a kosher sefer Torah to be yotze kriya sefer Torah. It could be that you're yotze with the pasul sefer Torah. Why? Why would you be yotze with the pasul sefer Torah? No one holds you yotze tefillin with the pasul tefillin. Why would you hold? Why would any rishonim hold that you yotze with the pasul sefer Torah? So Rav Avadya Yosef writes, the Iker Mitzvah, he says, Achilik Mavuar, the Shiny Yasam Shonosomcha, Mashkasar Rambam, Mechuvas Perador. And he quotes many other posts that quote this Rambam. Shemutu Levarich al Sefer Torah, Sheino Kasher, Velikros Babetzibur, Vein Bazamishum Brach Levatala. Here it is. Shein Birchos Satara al Kriya Sefer Torah, Kishar Birchos Amitzos Gon Lula Vesuka. Shema Mitzvah Psula Brachi Levatala. Ela Habrachi al Hakriya. The bracha's on the kriya, not on the cheftza of the Sefer Torah. And Yotze says the Rambam Parador, even with the Sefer Torah, that's not kosher. So therefore, if the bracha's on the kriya, meaning what is kriya satorah? Kriya satorah is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah Barabbin. Many Rishonim hold, you could be Yotze that without a kosher of Sefer Torah. And that's when you get an aliyah, when you say those brachos, that's what the brachos are. It's a birchas haTorah and Talmud Torah Barabim. That's the beautiful story Rav Daniel Feldman told about, he wrote up about Rav Shechter recently. Rav Shechter was honored for 50 years of being a Rosh Shiva in YU. So Rav Daniel Feldman, one of the Gedolei Talmidav, wrote up a story that happened at the bris of Binyamin Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yisrael, he didn't write this in the story, who it was, but I said to Rabbi Kamenetsky, this was you, right? And he said, yeah. So I think I'm allowed to tell the story. Rabbi Kamenetsky always says it, I feel like I could say it. So the story was that I was in 10th grade at the time Binyamin Kamenetsky was born. I was in Rabbi Kamenetsky's shir. And Rabbi Kamenetsky had been married for a few years already, and they hadn't had children yet. They hadn't had children yet. So it was like a huge simcha for, and Rabbi Kamenetsky was mamish like, he was in a different world when Binyamin was born. He was like mamish flying high. So much so that at Binyamin's bris, which is like on a random, like Monday or Thursday morning during the week, he got up to speak, and he spoke. He stayed up a whole night learning the night before. And he basically shared an entire night's learning with a whole bunch of, you know, Tinek Balabatim who were waiting to go to their jobs already. And they, you know, and like his parents are like giving him like, you know, and he runs through every stop sign. You know, he just keeps going. And after 45 minutes, he concludes his drasha with the words, "And now I'd like to introduce Rav Herschel Shechter to speak." So no one can leave. And Rav Shechter gets up. And Rav Shechter said, "You know, I was wondering when I came in this morning to davening that normally the minig is that the Aviyah Ben gets an aliyah at the Bris Milah, and the Aviyah Ben didn't get an aliyah this morning. So I was wondering why he didn't get an aliyah." He said, "And I realized that it's so appropriate because Rav Soloveitchik explained the reason the Aviyah Ben gets an aliyah at the Bris is because the idea of an aliyah of the Torah is Talmud Torah Barabim, that you're teaching people Torah Barabim. An Aviyah Ben is feeling a great sense of simcha, so you want to channel that simcha toward Talmud Torah Barabim, toward teaching Torah. That's the whole idea of the aliyah." So Rav Shechter said, "Rabbi Kamenetsky didn't need to get an aliyah to be Melamed Torah Barabim. Look what a talented teacher of Torah he is. How lucky as a community you are to have such a teacher of Torah, such a talented teacher of Torah, who has so much to offer to be Melamed Torah Barabim. You should always appreciate him and always appreciate the fact that you have someone like that in your community. Mazel Tov." And he sat down, under 3 minutes. And what did he accomplish in under 3 minutes? First of all, made Rabbi Kamenetsky feel a lot better after, you know. Second of all, gave a little muster to the community, you know. Stop looking at your watch and appreciate that you have a Talmud Chacham like that. And third, kept it under 3 minutes and didn't make it all about himself. So that's the idea of the Aliyah. It's Talmud Torah Barabim. It's not about the Cheftza Shel Torah, the Cheftza Shel Sefer Torah. As opposed to Tefillin, obviously, in the Kasher Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. A fourth Raya they bring is from Tosus Masech Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. Tosus writes, when we say Poshe Yisrael Begufen or Karkafta Delo Manach Tfilin, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Demayri Bosen Sholson Machmas Mered Umvazen HaMitzvos V'sochkin Beretzua Shaviyadom Ubrosham. That someone who doesn't put on Tfilin, Machmas Mered, is a Karkafta Delo Manach Tfilin, is considered someone who hasn't put on Tfilin. But someone who Stam hasn't put on Tfilin, but not Machmas Mered, not because of any Pshia, he doesn't need any Kapara whatsoever. That's the Raya that Rav Gedalia Felder brings in Yesodi Yeshurin. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about this in Chelk Beisim and Zion of Milchas Asher, of Tshuvas Milchas Asher. He says also Karkafta Delo Manach Tfilin may only be referring to someone who never wears tefillin. Now this guy going forward is going to wear tefillin, and also not the greatest raya, because good, it shows that he's not a Karkafta Delo Manach Tfilin, but it doesn't mean that he gets schar for the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. So it could be that on some level a person does require a kapara. There are rayos that you do need kapara when you tried your best. They bring a raya, for example, Baba Kama Tezayinam Beis. Yirmiya says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shoa Shoskim Tzedakah, Hechshilu B'Vnei Adam Sheinu Mehugalim, so that they don't get schar. Ooh, what's Yirmiya saying? That even if to get back at these people, that they shouldn't get schar for their mitzvah. So when they want to give tzedakah and they want to do a mitzvah, let it be a person who's pretending to be an ani, who's not legitimately an ani, and then they won't get schar. But they're trying their best. They think he's an ani, so why wouldn't they get schar? So apparently, you see, it doesn't matter that you're trying your best. You didn't do the mitzvah. So, okay, you could argue that maybe there's a difference between mitzvah ben adam l'chavero versus mitzvah ben adam l'makom. That when there's a ben adam l'chavero, there's a practical benefit to your money. When you give tzedakah, it's supposed to practically benefit a poor person. It didn't do that here, and that's why you don't get schar. Maybe. Okay, there's more to say on that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. What I wanted to get to, though, is... let's see. Yeah.
All those cases where the chazakah with the kohen or the sefer also, it was a chazakah assuming until now that it was kosher, right? And so does that mean that halakhically we don't view it, even though we found out that it wasn't like the chazakah? The chazakah makes it okay though? That how it works?
In those cases. In the Baal Mum also had a chazakah, but it doesn't make it okay. So in those specific cases, each for their own reasons. Just very quickly, a guy fails to do a mitzvah. Say, how do you do tshuva for that? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva writes, you do tshuva, and ein ozaz mishamat shemochlin lo. You don't need yisurin, you don't need yom kippur. You know, mitzvah saseh, failure for mitzvah. But over here it's worse, right? Because brachas levatala. So how do you do tshuva for a brach levatala? So first you have to figure out what kind of isur is a brach levatala. Daraisa or drabanan. So it's a machlokas rishonim. So Avadya points out, if it's an isur drabanan, how could it only be an isur drabanan? Saying God's name in vain is a big one, right? That's beferish in the Torah. So how could you say it's only a drabanan? Because saying God's name in vain is if I just scream out Hashem, you know. But I'm saying Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh B'dvaro. And I happen to not have a drink in front of me at the time. I happen to not have anything in front of me. I just want to say, Hashem, thank you, you're so wonderful. So that is a great Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it might not be a violation of Lo Sisa, right? Machlokas Rishonim, says Rav Avadya Yosef, famous Nesivis, Simin Reish Lamed Aleph, if someone does Nisr D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, he doesn't need Kapara. Because Nisr D'Rabbanan, the whole Nisr is merit against the Rabbanan. Is an act of rebellion. If it was b'shogeg, there's no act of rebellion. Mainly, you don't need kapara. So if you hold like those, we showed him that a brachal v'atala is not an isidorei, it's only an isidorabban, you don't need kapara. Od snif lahakel? Every day, for Ashkenazim at least, I don't think Svarim do this, every day after you say the second bracha on your tefillin, Baruch Shem Kod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed. And that fixes it. That fixes it. It always struck me as odd that fixes it, and we once discussed, does that fix it, or does that sort of like make it not as bad? But, you know, like, because you don't have that any other, there's no other Aveira that you could do that with. There's no, excuse the term, morning after pill for Aveiros, right, normally, right? There's no, like, you can't, like, you Mechal Shabbos, and then you say, V'yishomer v'nei Yisrael Shabbos, and all of a sudden the Chil Shabbos goes away. It doesn't, you don't have such magic. Yeah. But Rav Avadya is putting together whatever sniff of me can. Rav Avadya quotes all of it. I don't know if he quotes all of it. Rav Asher quotes all of it. I'm late. Okay, so the last thing. So what do you do going forward? What's the person to do? So I found four etzas in Poskim what to do. In Tshuvas Vayan Yosef, Chelek Aleph Simin Yud Beis. Who wrote Vayan Yosef? I don't know. In Shuvas V'Yan Yosef, he writes, Mishen is chayev chatas mafrish l'tzedakah in order to get a kapara. So over here, a guy who fails to do a mitzvah, say, he should be mafrish tzedakah, mechir shal tle liola. Set aside money and give to tzedakah the amount of money that would cost to buy a goat for a carbon ola, a sheep, shepsila for a carbon ola, even though he's an ones, mi yos tov, it will be a kapara. Is it?
It's a younger sheep.
I don't know how much it costs. Okay, that's what he suggests. And then he says, and if you can't do that, or even if you can't do that, say the Parsha Sa'ola every day with great kavanah. Okay, good for failure to do mitzvah Sa'ola. Another suggestion of Avadia in Yabia Omer. Matov sheyikabel olav laniach tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. Kedei latzis yidei chovas kama me'agdolim. Ubeprat ha'raivit shemeir begadosh ken vor b'Yerushalmi. You want to take on a chumrah in Hilchus Tefillin, start wearing tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. Third suggestion, Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter, keep your tefillin on for longer every day. All that lost time that you didn't have tefillin on, so come on time to davening, come a few minutes early maybe, put on your tefillin before davening, have a seder limud either before or after davening, and keep your tefillin on, so you'll make up for lost time. It's yadua that there were kama gedolei Yisrael that after Pesach and after Sukkot would wear their tefillin for extra time the whole week later because they missed out on Chol HaMoed. So they would want to make up in the extra time. So they wear it on for a little, and the Tshuva Shevet HaKasi and Rav Asher Min Chasasher all say that same thing. Fourth Eitzah, in Shur HaShai, Ve'an Yosef also, B'mishtad Liknos Tefillin L'Bnei Aniyim. Become someone who promotes the mitzvah of tefillin by buying tefillin for B'nei Aniyim, kosher tefillin. Those people who can't buy tefillin who daren for themselves. So try to make sure that people have kosher tefillin. Lemaisa, at the end of the day, when something like this happens, a 39-year-old man or a 49-year-old man discovers that he has not been yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin his entire life. Rav Asher, I think, says very, very well in his tshuva, Mikol makom yekaye mitzvosav besimcha, v'lo yis'atzev yoser midai, v'urachum yichaperavam. A person should not become depressed, should not become upset. You have to be kind of the mitzvah of simcha, be grateful that you found it, that you caught it now, and now for the rest of your life, be careful and do the mitzvahs very well, but don't allow it to depress you. Depression, and in fact, in the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, he writes that, Ubalya mar ruach alze, don't let this get to you and get you upset, shezeh, maybe lideatzvos, that will bring you to depression. Gorim ra'la avodaso yisbaruch shema. And that's only going to harm your avodas Hashem, ukiyadur misfarim akadoshim, and from everywhere else, from life. Right? We know that ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. So a person should maintain a sense of simcha and continue to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam.